So today we are going to hear from the early stories of our faith through Abraham in the book of Genesis. So Abraham, we often call the original ancestor of our faith. We talk about the Abrahamic traditions, right? So Abraham and Sarah, we often so strongly associate them with the people of Israel, but we actually need to remember that Abraham was from Ur, which is a place that would probably be in modern-day Iraq. He was from Ur until he wasn't. God told him to grab up his household and hit the road. This is actually what we're going to hear today, a little recap of a reading that we heard in Lent this year. But what happens in this story, what happens, and you can miss it if you blink, is huge. What happens in this story, turns out that pretty much Judaism and Christianity and Islam all trace themselves back to this moment. It is a moment of God's promise, even in uncertainty. I like that we identified that pretty early on in our conversation, uncertainty. And I don't know about you, but I have found this whole being human story to be a large part about learning to live with uncertainty. So maybe there is something here for each of us this day. Listen in.
The reading is from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness.
So my wife Julia and I just had our first real vacation that we've had in like 3 years, because as it turns out, schools and churches have pretty much designed their schedules so that one takes a break because the other one is busy, and that's terrible for our household, or has been. So we went to Northern California, where Julia is originally from and where my sister lives, to see some of the sights of Julia's childhood, which I had never seen, and to simply rest together. So I'll say one more time, thank you. It is always powerful to go and see where someone is from, really, right? Have you ever noticed that? There are these little things about a landscape and a climate that become part of who we are. I'm not a fancy wine person, but I do know if I think about what the land looks like where that grape comes from, there's something that changes for me about it. You go to those places in France or those places in California, you see what the land looks like, it changes something. So it was amazing. It's the way of love, right? There's always more to discover about the people that we love, sometimes whether we like it or not. They always surprise us. So I was overcome a few times to see those places that helped Julia become Julia. And because, you know, I'm still working on this vacation thing, it also made me think a little bit about Abraham and Sarah, because I knew I had to come back and talk about them. About how our ancestors in faith, whose whole story starts with them being separated from their land, where they came from. Their whole identity, their family, and having to go find a new one. All because, from as near as he could tell, Abraham heard from God this, a little bit earlier on. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's a big promise. This is a fun game, like Abraham, Noah, build a big boat, all those sorts of things. What people would get themselves up to because God had told them to, well, we just don't do that so much anymore. Generally, we start checking on you if you tell us what God has told you to do. But Abraham has packed up everything and everyone he knows and hit the road. Abraham left his family and his land and his home, and everything was different for him and for us thousands of years later. So I found myself standing in the hills and the low brush of California and in the Pacific Ocean, because it's vacation, wondering at the ways of life and the spirit, and that I get to know Julia, and we have the chance to make this landscape home. Very different, but very blessed. But I know there were lots of stories. I know definitely for her, I assume for her family as well, of how that road from one coast to the other was not a smooth one or an easy one. I know there are lots of stops along the way where they probably wish they could have gotten off that ride. But they did. They came here. And so everything was different for me, for them, for us, actually, as it turns out. Have you ever found yourself on this precipice? It sounds like you have. Standing somewhere that maybe you were somewhere that wasn't wonderful in your life, but probably it wasn't terrible. Those are the easy decisions, right? What's happening right now is terrible. Get me out of here. That's a good one. Pull the ripcord. Off you go. When things are just kind of okay, how do you make that decision to do the new thing? To go to the place that you do not know. I think this is one of the most amazing and difficult human decisions that happens just all the time for us. That's the whole American story, right? People like pick up and ship off to other places where they just have no idea what will come. But they hope. I know there are people who are less risk averse than I am, but still, that moment of kind of self-awareness when you launch out into the unknown, it's a miracle of our human species. I don't understand where it comes from. I find in the week before, even just like a big vacation trip, the kind of adrenaline starts to pump a little bit. Let's face it, most of us are relatively comfortable at home, right? We know where things are in the kitchen drawers. We get to set our own schedules. We got a lot of autonomy in our lives. Travel, or moving really, but travel even when it's planned and booked, kind of a consumer product that we purchase, is vulnerable. Our schedules are no longer our own. We have to rely on these other people to get us places. We have to ask strangers to guide us to places. We rely on others who arrive to help somehow. Have you ever found yourself kind of right before or mid-travel, even more so, kind of feeling overwhelmed? Like, how did I get myself into this mess? I would like to go home now, please. Maybe like Abraham, you found yourself wondering if this was such a good idea. That's what this little story today is, right? Abraham kind of goes, hey, God, you promised me all this wonderful stuff. What's the deal? Maybe you wanted to ask some questions of whatever or whoever got you into this mess. I don't know about you, but often that confrontation for me involves a mirror, but that's okay. Because Abraham believed the Lord and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. I say it that way because that's a phrase that you need to know in the Bible. Because Abraham believed, he and his wife have wandered far from home in a time when you could not just get back on the bus or the plane to get back home, right? This is not like a round-trip ticket. Moving or travel makes me anxious, but it will never have the finality of setting out in the way that Abraham and Sarah do. God promises, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." But they won't really know it in their lifetime. So today I just want to sit back and relish in the beauty of Abraham's belief. And I recognize that that word has been loaded up by a lot these days. People draw a lot of lines according to what you believe or don't believe. But I want to say, belief is right here in this story. It's no simple thing or a constant thing. In case you were wondering, this is not the last time Abraham goes, "Hey God, what's up?" It's been a long road, and it seems like it's going to be even more of a long road. Abraham and God have this continuous conversation. Abraham says, "How are we doing on this promise thing, God? Still waiting." And I think that that is beautiful and important to remember, that belief is not a thing that exists in the absence of doubt, of questions, of uncertainty. But it's kind of like the raw fuel of hope. "Oh God, I do not know where I'm going, but I know that I'm going there," is the prayer of the believer. So one other observation from the roads of California. Yeah, it had been a while since I had been good and truly lost. My generation, no matter how many times you send us directions in the email about the thing, we're not going to read that. We're just going to type it into the phone, okay? Until you are out of range, which is a thing that Northern California, I think, is much more comfortable with than I am. So there were a number of times where I was going, "Oh my gosh, well, this road seems to go..." I know that generally if the ocean is over here, I'm headed south, right? Which is different from this side of the world. Although Maine, you can't ever make a judgment about where the ocean is. It is amazing to be on a road and just trust that the road goes somewhere. Which I think used to be much more common for us. But I think is also a really important part of the life of faith. Said it before, I'll say it again. One of the biggest tasks of adult living seems to be learning to live with ambiguity and uncertainty. Over and over again, the Bible reminds us that Abraham's experience, moving from what is known to what is unknown, is the life of faith. The Old Testament theologian Walter Brueggemann says, "There's only one story in the Bible. It's thesis, where you are, interruption or disruption, and synthesis." In other words, you know where you are, you have no clue what you've gotten yourself into, and oh, here I am. That's the story over and over again. And Abraham is the touchstone for that. When the people of Israel go into the promised land, they are told by God and by Moses that every time they give an offering of their first fruits, they should recite this: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor." They mean Abraham. We are all wandering Arameans. Abraham believed the Lord is such a fundamental part of our story that the Apostle Paul will build his whole theology of Jesus on it. Paul uses Abraham as the symbol for what it means to trust in God and be transformed by that trust. He should know, he who follows Jesus, who, by the way, walked out of comfort, walked out of home, who called fishermen on the roads of life, and who walked into death itself, trusting in the power of God, trusting that even in death, God was showing the path of life. I hope we are all brave in these ways, maybe not necessarily walking into death itself, but walking into those things which are unknown to us, those things which unsettle us, in which we have to learn new things or meet new people. I hope we are all on the path of discovery together, learning new roads without being certain of their destinations. Even more, I hope we embrace the chance to be a gift to the lives of others who travel these roads, who set out into the unknown in search of blessing, in search of being a blessing. I heard a speaker recently, Darnell Moore, who's part of the movement for Black Lives in this country, say recently, "Americans travel so quickly to the edges of our love." He meant we so often find the exception, where our love will stop, who is outside. And I want to challenge us with maybe a different vision of that that comes from a while ago. It's been in the news, and whenever poetry gets in the news, I really pay attention. The poem is called "The New Colossus." "Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land, here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome, her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp," cries she with silent lips. "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." Mother of Exiles, beacon to new life. That's another way to tell our story as a nation and as a people. And it comes without exception, you might notice. There have been others maybe saying that there ought to be some exceptions on that. But it is not written that way. And we do not tell it that way. We remember a wandering Aramean was our ancestor. So thanks be to God for Abraham and Sarah and the people from away, who would come to define for so many what it meant to be from God. Those who sought God's light and path and left home to find it. Thanks be to God that God's promises live on, that hospitality pours out of strangers, that new paths lead us into new life. So I hope you are brave in whatever changes or transitions or movements are to come. Go forth knowing you go with all the history of our ancestors in faith. And when you meet others on those roads of life, be a beacon, be a light. For you may be blessed and may be a blessing. Amen.